Work shouldn't feel like a drag, and you shouldn't have to sacrifice your soul for a job you love. Determined to rethink the future of work, she's out of her depth on purpose. With fresh ideas, interviews, and stories from her life on the road, meet Europe's newest digital nomad, Blair Palmer.
Hello and welcome to episode 69 of A Brilliant Gamble. I hope you are really well. I am recording this from France. Yay! We're finally over the border. We're finally on the continent. We left the UK yesterday, got on a ferry for the first time with dogs and van and kid. This is something I've never done before. And it was a little fraught. I think I kept my cool quite well, actually, but at no point did I know what we were doing, including when we disembarked at the other end and I was driving a right-hand drive car on the right-hand side of the road, trying to find my way through various toll bridges and all kinds of stuff that they have here in France, which was kind of new and complicated, but brings me to the topic of today. Today's show is all about stress and how stress affects you and how stress follows you around. And I should say that we woke up this morning. It is absolutely beautiful here. If you check out Instagram, I'm sure I'm going to be bombarding the site with beautiful photos of this place. We are basically in the middle of nowhere. We've got this gorgeous, I think it's a converted barn. Maybe it's a gîte of some kind, but it's very old. Beautiful beams all over the ceiling. I really couldn't be happier than to be here. But I'm not going to tell you that the journey so far has been completely free of stress. One of the reasons that we decided to change our lives so dramatically was to get away from the stress of our lives as they were. Now, as I'm sure you know, keeping a house going means shopping for things around the house, light bulbs, interior stuff, new bedding occasionally, batteries, so many batteries. Weekends were filled with to-dos. Just keeping the house tidy, getting to appointments, getting Ivy where she needed to go, running a business. My business is pretty full on at times and involves a fair amount of international travel. And I'm doing this as a single mom with two dogs, three rabbits and a gerbil. So life was pretty fraught. And I had this, call me crazy, idea of stripping things back to essentials. I thought to myself, well, firstly, if we don't have a house, then we don't have any house to-dos. Now, of course, the van does need stuff. We had a slightly dodgy moment on the way over here with the volts meter going a little bit nuts in the middle of Rouen in the rush hour. I have no idea how that's going to pan out. But it seemed to be okay once we got out of stationary traffic. But so the van sometimes needs stuff. We need food. We need the occasional new bit of clothing. But basically, you can tidy the van in 20 minutes or less, and we have pretty much everything we need with us. We don't need to do a lot of shopping. So there's no stress associated with that kind of everyday stuff that you have when you have a house. We don't have many financial worries either because we have a low overhead and a fixed monthly income. Now, I had a fixed monthly income before, but it was quite generous. Now I need to know exactly where we are financially because it is a relatively tight budget. And, you know, because we have everything we need, barring any major issues with the van, which yesterday we did have a conversation about what we would do if there was a major issue with the van, but barring any issues with the van, there aren't any massive financial surprises in our lifestyle as it is. So that's another big stress taken away. And we're away from temptation. We pulled into a shopping park with a Matalan and a Boots and a TK Maxx and a Pizza Hut, and suddenly we needed things. And within 2 hours, we'd spent a third of our weekly budget on a bit of pizza and a couple of items of clothing. We just don't do that on a day-to-day basis because we're living in rural Airbnbs where there just isn't the temptation, or we're in the van. So you're not going to do a big shop when you're in the van. You've got two dogs in the back. You're camping. It's just, you're not in a shopping frame of mind. So those kind of things typically don't happen in our lives. And those are the kind of things that were causing me day-to-day stress in our lives before. However, even though I've shed our lives of that kind of stress-inducing event or activity, it is not stress-free. I've identified four kinds of stress. Now, you might think of these as triggers for stress or stress-inducing moments. I should say that they aren't inevitably stressful. These things might not stress you out. They happen to stress me out. But I have seen these as issues, factors that do typically stress people out or have the potential to, depending on what your frame of mind is. So the first kind of stress-inducing event is anything new. So I mentioned we were on the ferry yesterday with the dogs and my daughter and the van. This is something that we've not done before. I've not taken pets across international waters. I had no idea whether the pet passports would be okay, whether we'd done all the stuff we were supposed to do. I didn't know if I had all the paperwork. Wasn't sure where to go, how long things would take. We arrived really, really early. And in fact, we ended up getting an earlier ferry than we'd booked on because we were so early. But all of that was because I was feeling a bit stressed about it because something is new. When we put ourselves in the way of these new experiences, there is the potential to be exposed to some stressful feelings. After you've done a thing once or twice, it's not so stressful. But unless you're very zen, which I'm not, as I'm discovering, I mean, I kind of knew this anyway, new experiences can be unsettling even when you've invited them in. Which brings me to the second kind of stress-inducing event, or potentially stress-inducing, which is anything unexpected. So the brakes are squeaking on the van. I've had that checked out. It doesn't appear to be anything serious. But when I first heard it, I was worried that there was going to be some big problem. I mentioned yesterday that the voltmeter was going a bit nuts in the van. I don't know what that's about. Any unexpected problems? And we haven't had that many on this trip so far, mind you. It's only 3 weeks, so, you know, early days. But any unexpected problem, a change or a challenge that's thrust upon you has the potential to cause stress. And to be honest, there's no escape from the potential for this kind of unexpected problem. You can't keep yourself so safe that you completely minimize or get rid of any opportunity for there to be a risk. It's not possible. You can't live that way. And particularly in the lifestyle that we've chosen, where you're taking some kind of gamble, there are going to be maybe more unexpected problems than there would be if you were living a life that was quite predictable. But having said that, you know, unexpected stuff, the whole point about it is it's unexpected. You're living your life, you're living in your house, things are ticking over and the boiler breaks, or the car breaks down, or your child breaks a bone. This stuff can happen. It's unexpected and it throws a spanner in the works, and that spanner can cause stress. Third kind of stress is the deep, low level throbbing stress, worrying about things that you kind of always worry about. This is your sort of stress screensaver, if you like. And the things that I worried about before we embarked on this trip, some of them still bother me, even though I thought I had left them behind. So I still worry about the business, particularly what will happen or what state the business will be in when I return. Will I be able to keep it healthy during this trip? Now, I'm betting on it. It's one of the bets that I'm taking. In fact, I'm betting on it being even better, because one of the reasons we're doing this is so I have more experience, I have more insights, I have more to offer to my clients, particularly those that want to embark on some kind of brilliant gamble of their own. So I'm betting on this being good for business, but because it's a bet, there is no guarantee. I'm changing so much about how I work. I'm testing theories here about working hours and working locations and all of that, that there is no guarantee that I'm right. We will find out at the end. I'm worried about Ivy's education. Now, I'm pretty confident about my decision, otherwise we wouldn't be doing this. But it's a gamble as well. We keep it constantly under review. We look at what's the right way to do it. We refine and adapt as we go. But in the middle of the night, sometimes, I worry, just as I did when we lived in a house, about whether I'm letting her down, whether we're doing enough, whether her life will be improved as a result of this decision, or whether it will be in some way damaged. It's hard to remember at 3 o'clock in the morning the reasons that you've made some of these big decisions, and that's when stress can hit. And finally, and this is my least favourite kind of stress, and this is the self-created stress. This is the worst. These are the things that I make stressful, which don't need to be, and you will have your own. For instance, arriving at a campsite, a new campsite, and unpacking the van. Now, there's no reason why that would be stressful. We're very rarely in a rush. We might be a bit tired. We might have been driving for a while, but we're not against the clock or anything. But I just have this kind of stressy, adrenalized feeling that I want to set it up the way I want to set it up. And I want to do all of that before I take a break. So I want to unpack and I want to get it set up from being a van that we drive around in to being a van that we're going to sleep in. And I want to get the bikes off the back and I want to put the awning up and I want to get it all nice and set up before I make a cup of tea. And this causes me stress because we've just arrived somewhere. I'm pretty tired. I need to stretch my legs. It would be nice to sit down and have a cup of tea, but I don't want to do any of that until I've got the van ready. And so I'm creating stress within myself that does not need to be there because I've set an expectation that is only coming from me. When we arrived at one of the campsites we've been to this week, we were unpacking and setting up for about 2 hours. And while we were doing that, another van, a newer version of ours, pulled up in a nearby camping pitch. And the very first thing this couple did was set up their little camp chairs and have a cup of tea. Meanwhile, I'm, you know, getting a sweat on, trying to get the van ready so that I can finally deserve my first cup of tea from that campsite. This is madness, okay? So you will have situations like this, stressful situations that you create for yourself because you have set an expectation that is purely your own. Maybe it comes from something deep inside. I know that mine is from a message from childhood that said, work before play. So you get your work done before you're allowed to play, which sounds kind of sensible, except we know that the work is never finished. So if you wait until you have completely finished all your work in order to play, you will never play. And of course, one of the reasons I want to do this trip, there's so many, but one of the reasons is I want to have more play in my life. I want my life to be fundamentally about play, and work fits into that. So work is part of it, I suppose. So why I would set this expectation that I have to get everything done before I'm allowed to have a cup of tea, I do not know. But even if you understand it theoretically, it doesn't mean it's easy to unpick in practice. So these are the four kinds of stress that I've identified. And I think I'm getting a few ideas about this kind of stress and what we can do about it, how we can reduce it, and how we can handle it when we're hit by it. So first, the new, stuff that's new. You can get better at handling the new. Now, one way is the new becomes old very quickly. So next time we get on a ferry, I'm going to have a much better idea about how long everything takes and where we have to go and what paperwork we need and all of that. But you can get better at handling new things. If you keep exposing yourself to new things, you build up a tolerance. Currently, my approach is feel the fear and do it anyway. And that might end up being the long-term answer. But I am wondering whether the more new things you do, the more you see connections. So, okay, going on the ferry the first time is a new experience, but I also know that I've done lots of new things and they've mainly worked out well. And if something hasn't worked out well, I kind of know how to overcome it. I have some resilience around overcoming challenges. So that helped me a little bit yesterday. So if you find new situations stressful, there's a little bit of aversion therapy required here. Put yourself in the way of new challenges, and the amount of stress that you experience will reduce each time. My second insight is that no matter how many triggers of stress you remove, you can't get rid of all the triggers. The unexpected change, these deep, low-level worries will come with you wherever you go. Now, that doesn't mean you should just tolerate triggers. It doesn't mean you should just say to yourself, well, it doesn't even matter if we change our lives, I'm still going to be stressed. I'm very glad that we don't put ourselves in the way of temptation, that we've simplified our lives. I'm very glad that we're not carrying all the overheads of a house. Not all of the triggers of stress are internal. Some of them are external. And where you can find ways to get rid of these temptations or get rid of these triggers, simplify, then go ahead and do that. Just know that you won't be able to get rid of them all. When you embark on the next phase of your adventure, some of the triggers will stay with you, or there will be new ones. Third insight about stress is about this self-generated stress stuff. I know that this is something I need to do something about. This trip has exposed, if I was in any doubt, that I'm an adrenaline addict. And once I get a hit of adrenaline, this kind of stressy adrenaline, I spiral. The easiest way to describe how this feels, so that you can see if you have it too, is that I cannot stop the thing I'm doing. I've got momentum. I'm like a runaway train gathering pace. And the best thing to do, and something, so I wrote the notes for this podcast a few days ago, and in writing the notes, I observed this thing about myself, and I've been trying to change it since, and it seems to be working very well. I'm sure that the key to breaking this habit is connected with the belief that I mentioned, work before play, that's the rule, which was drummed into me throughout my childhood and which I now know intellectually to be highly flawed, because the work will never be finished. So if you wait to have the fun until after the work is done, you'll never have the fun. Breaking that belief is key to me on this trip. Now, I could have waited to have this adventure until retirement. That's what many people do. They say we will do our travelling after we retire. Or I could have waited until I was rich. That actually was the plan originally, was to make a lot of money and then to be able to take early retirement. And then I realised that that day may never come. And meanwhile, I was not having much fun. I was just working in preparation for the fun that may or may not come later. And I thought to myself, well, what kind of life is that? 40 years of working so that maybe if I'm healthy and if I'm lucky, I can have 20 years of play. That's not the story that I want to tell. So at a macro level, I think that I've broken with that belief. But at a micro level, that belief about work before play is still there. We arrive at the campsite, we get entirely set up before I can have a drink of tea. In work mode, I don't take much notice of anything else that's going on around me until I finish the work. I find it very difficult to take a break. So this momentum, this inability, this runaway train feeling is the signal that you are self-generating stress. And the key, I think, and I mentioned that I've been working with this the last few days, so I'm not an expert, but I am starting to see the results. The key is to take breaks the moment you feel the momentum gathering. Now, this is a challenge because not only have you got the addiction going, but you also want to find a balance between being in the zone and not wanting to ignore the muse because, you know, she may not come back, and getting so much momentum that I can't read the signals that I'm tired or that I'm adrenalized or that I'm not enjoying the moment. So what I'm doing is the moment that I feel that adrenaline, I'm stopping and I'm taking a breath. A breath is enough to ask myself, am I in the zone? do I keep going now, or do I need to stop because this adrenaline, this runaway train feeling is stopping me actually from being in the zone and really enjoying this moment. My fourth and final insight about stress. There are people who work very hard on their mental state and who have found ways to be largely stress-free. Now, this isn't so much about their lifestyle. It's not like we can look at them and say, well, it's easy for them. You know, they have a stress-free lifestyle. No, not possible. The same things happen to them that happen to us all, but they have strategies. They have worked on their mental state so that they know when stress is occurring and they know how to address that stress so that it dissipates. I've shared with you a couple of strategies on this podcast today. I will be developing more and a more consistent practice. Otherwise, despite ridding myself of many of the triggers, the stress will follow me around throughout this year, which kind of goes completely against the point. But I hope that also for you, you can have a look at those strategies and know that, yes, there are external triggers. Yes, you need to. You can, I'm not going to tell you what to do actually, but you can reduce the number of external triggers by simplifying your life or by removing tolerations. But you also know that it's nothing to do with the triggers. Really, this is an internal mindset challenge. How can you get into a frame of mind where things that typically trigger you don't trigger you anymore? And for the moment, my best advice is taking a breath and stopping yourself from getting on the runaway train. As you make changes to your life, you expose yourself to what's you and what's your circumstances. In our Brilliant Gamble, we've added some stress triggers, but mainly we've taken them away. So now I can see what's left is coming from me. If I knew exactly how to address the stress, I wouldn't be on this trip, I don't think, or I wouldn't be on this trip for the same reasons. So you're going to see me try different approaches and share what works. But I can tell you that I took about 3 quite big breaks in writing my notes for this episode, just to see what Ivy was making with her Lego and what else she was up to. And so preparing for this podcast has taken me longer than normal, but I did notice that it was pretty much stress-free. She was pretty stress-free because I was checking in with her about what she was doing, and I was stress-free because I wasn't on a runaway train. So there may be a sacrifice in terms of how long things take, but it's worth it in exchange for the peace that you experience. That's it for today. If you are thinking of taking your own Brilliant Gamble, whatever it is, if you're thinking of changing tack in your career, if you want to change your lifestyle a bit, if you want to incorporate more travel, if you want to change the way you work, the digital nomad thing, reduce your hours, whatever it is, whatever Brilliant Gamble you want to embark on, can I please recommend that you sign up to the newsletter? I've produced a free 3-part gamble guide that you will get as soon as you sign up to that newsletter. And information about all of that is on the website. So just go to www.abrilliantgamble.com and there's a pop-up and you can sign up to the newsletter straight away. With more information about that and also how you can stay in touch with us and follow our travels, here's the lovely Ivy Palmer.
From you, you can get all the episodes of this show, plus read the blog and find out more about our travel adventure at www.brilliantgamble.com. Sign up to the newsletter and get an advance notice of the classes and programs Mummy is running. Plus, you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Brilliant Gamble. Finally, please leave a review and star rating for this podcast on iTunes, as it helps people find us and take a brilliant gamble of their own. Bye!